not try and bend the spoon. Only try to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
Cool J is hard as battle anybody. I don't care who you. I expect they all.
Pumping that podcast wattage in your cottage. Fill your business and free your mind. I know. Coming to you live and direct from Des Moines, Iowa, the greatest city in the universe. See your host, yeah, Justin Wise. Blood clot. No spoon to the flipping world. Justin, running.
You're a cougar scene now.
Coming to you from Des Moines, Iowa, the greatest city in the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Think Digital. Switching things up, gonna go right into the content. Today's topic, knowing when to quit. Knowing when to quit. Brene Brown, as I speak to you, I'm looking at one of her books on my bookshelf. She talks a lot about how innovation requires a high tolerance for failure. They go hand in hand. If you want to innovate, you got to get used to tasting the sweet, the bittersweet nectar of the failure fruit. But what isn't talked a lot about is how to recognize failure. So, yeah, we definitely want to get comfortable with failure, but how do we know when we failed? Or how do we know when the thing that we're doing isn't doing what we want it to do? How do we acknowledge that? How do we pay attention to that? Because some failures are obvious. You know, nobody bought your product. Your book proposal gets rejected. Your sales team is converting at 1%. Okay, that is very easy to spot. Very simple to point to, but other failures are not obvious. And other failures are not obvious at all. They sit somewhere between a win and a fail, which makes your decision as a business leader, as a CEO, as a founder, it makes it really tricky. This is why you get paid the big bucks. So maybe it's your offer is selling, but the fulfillment process, oh my goodness, it's complicated, it's expensive, it's stressful. I know that I've been there, right? Where, yeah, it's selling, but you got to spend 75 cents to make a dollar. Or your ads are technically converting, but your margins are razor thin. Like I just said, I've had clients and I've seen the back end of many internet marketing gurus where they're spending 90 cents on the dollar. So yeah, they can get out there in the marketplace and say, I made a million bucks. I made $100,000 this month. But they're spending it all to make it. Where does that fit in on the failure scale? Or maybe your podcast listenership is growing, but none of them are converting into email subscribers or clients or customers. I've had podcasts that we've shut down, many of them, in fact, where that exact same thing was happening. So when do you throw in the towel? And conversely, when do you keep going? Now, I don't have an easy answer for you. This is not going to be 3 steps to shutting down your offer. But what I do want to do on this podcast is basically teach from experience. And my hope is that I will never speak to you about something that I haven't already experienced myself. Because for me, that's the easiest way to guide you through it is by giving you a description of what to look for and how to address it. So let me walk you through a decision that we made recently in our business and what that could mean for you. So long story short, after about 6 months of promotion and frankly, more sales than I was expected, I decided to take one of my, what I would consider signature programs off the shelf where we don't offer it publicly anymore and basically reduced the promotion and the energy we put behind it down by about 95%. gave it the good old college try, but basically saw that, hey, this isn't selling the way that I want it to sell. This is increasing in sales incrementally and not exponentially. And I don't want to give the time, attention, and energy, or the same time and attention and energy to it that I have been. And I chose to do this not because it didn't get results, because what I was hearing time after time from the people who went through the program was, hey, this is great. This stuff actually works. Which unfortunately is a rarity in the here and now. So it wasn't because of lack of results. And I've had programs that I've launched where people just frankly do not see results. No, that wasn't the reason. I'm killing the program for three big reasons that I've determined. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And those three big reasons are energy allotment. Reason number two is the 2-month rule. And reason number three, I've already alluded to this, and we'll get to this in depth here in a second, but avoiding incrementalism. If you find any of these three criteria helpful, it might make sense to use them in your own business. But let me dig into each one of these to give you a fuller picture of how I chose to make that decision to pull that course, which was making money. It was contributing to about 30-40% of our overall revenue from a month-to-month basis. But it was costing too much for me to make that money. And the first big area it was costing me was in what I call energy allotment. Far and away, okay, by far, we got the best sales conversions for the program in question when I did new live trainings. Some people call them masterclasses, some people call them webinars. Let's just call them trainings for the purposes of this podcast. That's what brought people in the door for this offer in particular, where I knew that if I showed up and I did a live training, so the way I do live trainings anymore is I typically will take a component of a fuller program and teach that component, because it makes it very easy to say, hey, we've just spent the last 60, 90 minutes or whatever together. And, you know, there's no like bait and switch. What you just saw in that training is what I teach you and unpack in a more fuller arena in the program. So if you like the training, you like the program, go buy the program. And I was doing these trainings live. Well, that requires a lot of my personal time. Okay. Planning the webinar, writing the emails to get people to the webinar, hosting the webinar, or coaching someone to host the webinar for me so I could do the teaching component. And also that also meant getting on calls with people who were interested in the program. Now, this particular program did not require a phone call for a close. We gave people an order form. But oftentimes many people would have, you know, good questions and they would want to get those questions answered. And so either I would get on the phone with them, or someone on the team would get on the phone with them. And keep in mind, this was a fairly low ticket program, under $1,000. That wasn't my main revenue stream. Like I said, it's about on average anywhere between 30 and 40% per month. So at that point, I knew I had to make a decision, because could I have tested a bunch of new marketing strategies to find a more automated funnel that still converted? Yeah, totally. And I'm actually really good at that. But again, that was a lot of upfront energy for something that I never really intended to be more than a supplemental income stream. There are great strategies. In fact, we work with clients on this all day, every day, who have an offer that's working, it's selling, and they want to find a more simplified, easier way to sell that particular offering. And so we help them automate that. So very obviously I could do that for myself, but I know the time, attention, testing, energy that takes to do it really well. And that was just not something that I was willing to do energy-wise for this particular program. So the energy that this low-ticket offer would have required to get it automated was more than I was willing to spend. So I gave it the axe. And so from now on, that material will only be available inside our private clan archives. And we'll still use it. It just won't be offered publicly in that same way. Why? Because it took too much energy. It took too much of my personal mental energy. So that was one huge, massive criteria that I used to determine whether or not I want to continue doing something or if I just want to quit it. A friend and mentor, Bob Goff, says, quit something every Thursday. So this was something that I quit. Now, that was energy allotment. The second criteria I used to determine if I'm going to kill something is what I call the two-month rule. And I came up with this after I heard James Altucher say, if you give something your all and it doesn't take off, or it doesn't take off like you want it to, just kill it. He says to give it 2 months. That's where the name comes from. So if something doesn't work, if you give it your all, which we did, in fact, we did much more than 2 months. We did about 6 months, give or take. In that process, you know, really 6 months sounds long, but that was from conception to, you know, pulling the plug. So, all said and done, you know, after the beta, it was about 3 months of really pushing this, marketing it, getting it out there. So the same time frame applies. But the 2 month rule was, hey, we gave it our all and it didn't do what we wanted it to do, so it's time to kill it. Plenty of room and time. It just didn't take off like I wanted to, and that's totally okay. You put 100 different online business owners in this situation, and they're gonna make 100 different choices. So there's lots of business owners who would have said, hey, what's the problem? This is making money. People are seeing results. Yeah, it takes some of your energy and time, but who cares? And they would be totally well within their own right to keep going and keep pushing and keep at it. I just didn't want to do that because I could see very clearly the landscape in front of me after those 3 months. Or if you're doing this by the book, like James says, the 2 months. And James, you know, talks about this in his context of starting a business. So he's not even talking about a program. He's starting about an entire business. And he started and closed enough businesses where I believe him. And he's worked with enough entrepreneurs where he has seen the landscape. Because, you know, the other side of this is, and I know these people, you know these people, where their business is clearly not working. It's clearly not taking off. It's clearly much more difficult than it should be. And I'm not saying that every single business or every single idea in your business should be effortless. That's not what I'm saying. But you know these folks as well as I do, where they're putting way too much time, way too much energy, for way too long into something that is going to maybe get incrementally better, maybe. And to be perfectly candid with you, like Think Digital is the name of my business, but Think Digital is on its, I think, fourth rendition right now. And I would consider each previous rendition, in the strictest sense, a failure. There's been different modes and variations. It's all been under the same banner. But if you really were to tease it out, it's been, you know, four different businesses. And Jason Fried says, hey, if you were to trace the evolution of Basecamp, which is the company that he runs, you would see about 24 different variations, starting with me designing logos for people at my dorm room in college, to what it is now, which is a multi-million dollar software company. Were each one of those renditions failures? I don't know. Maybe evolution is a better way of looking at it, but I really like the two-month rule because it puts a framework, it puts guardrails, it gives you 8 weeks. You know, I might bump that out to 3 months just to give yourself 90 days, a full quarter. But generally speaking, we see this with ideas. We also see this with ads. We know that if an ad hasn't taken off or if a campaign hasn't taken off for a product after 60 days, you know, it's probably not going to take off and we need to go back to the drawing board or we need to push something different. But the two-month rule is a very, very solid criteria that simply says, if you give something your all, and if it doesn't take off or take off like you want it to, just kill it. Just kill it. Really like that rule. It makes it very simple to know when to pull the plug. The third criteria of how to know when to quit is what I call avoiding incrementalism. And this is a big one. This is huge. Maybe the most important. Let me give you an example. See, you and I know people who will avoid buying a Starbucks to save money, but then they plunk down hundreds of dollars for cable every month. Is cable wrong? No. Is satellite TV wrong? No. Or maybe they'll scrimp at the grocery store only to buy a house that's four times too big for their budget. What's the point? The point is, why make incremental changes when you could focus on exponential changes? Incremental changes is skipping Starbucks to save money, but then spending hundreds of dollars every month on cable packages. Incremental is scrimping at the grocery store and buying the store brand when you have a mortgage that is way too big for your budget. So my point is, why make incremental changes when you could focus on exponential changes? So instead of skipping your Starbucks, cut your freaking cable. Instead of buying a $1 million house, buy a $500,000 house instead and have half the mortgage. It's the lazy person's way of covering a lot of ground very quickly. Okay? It's a very simple trick. It's a very simple hack, if you will. So I'm looking, constantly looking for the exponential ability, the exponential angle. Now, to put this in our context of the discussion here today, could I have made tweaks and shifts and changes to my program and incrementally gotten better results? Yes, absolutely. But that's no fun. That is not fun for me. Now, that might be your cup of tea. Cool, great, run with it. For me, that is not fun. When I create a digital product and it does okay, when the market receives it with a mediocre response, chances are it's not going to all of a sudden wildly take off with a tremendous amount of advertising and marketing behind it. That's just typically not the case. Does it happen? Sure, it could happen. Could it have happened in my case? Yeah, absolutely. I just wasn't willing to make those incremental changes and get it to a point where it could have finally taken off. Now, having said that, you know, there's very rarely a product or a course that I will put out these days that doesn't already have validation. And validation means validation simply when people give me money. That's not, Justin, that's a great idea. Or, Justin, yeah, I think I'd buy that. That is, hey, here's my credit card. I want that thing. So even this course that we chose to pull the plug on, there was market validation behind it. It just wasn't growing like I wanted it to. It didn't have that exponential potential. And that's ultimately what I'm looking for. So it's like a tweet. Okay. I love Twitter. I've always loved Twitter. It's my first love. It's my social media channel of choice. And when I post a tweet and it immediately starts getting likes and retweets, I know that I've hit a nerve. And you can see it as plain as day. When it immediately starts getting responses, comments, likes, retweets, you know that you've got the bud of a great idea. But honestly, most of my tweets completely fall flat, or they're received with a tepid response. And that's how I know, okay, this concept, this thought, this idea, this isn't going to resonate long-term with my audience. But these tweets over here, these have tremendous potential. And I've talked about this on other podcasts before, but you know, if you've been listening to the show, you know that tweets form the foundation for blog posts, which form the foundation for ads, which form the foundation for emails, and on up the chain we'll go. I'm not going to talk about that here. But similarly with this course, that's what I was looking for. And it just wasn't there. And that's okay. Some people might be willing to slog it out. I just wasn't willing to do that. Now, conversely, I've had courses, I've had programs, I've had offerings that get that response where I can see. Now, I'm not talking about getting $1 million in sales overnight, but there's a good clip. There's good potential. There's good rhythm. There's good movement. There's good sales. And those are the courses and resources that I pay attention to long term. Now, I'm not saying don't stick with an idea. I'm not saying give up right away. I know for me personally, incrementalism is not very exciting. It's not fun. So that's why it's one of the criteria I use for determining when to quit something. But that one is a big one for me. So again, the third criteria is avoiding incrementalism. The second one was the 2-month rule. The first criteria was energy allotment. Does it take a lot of my time and energy? And those are the things I'm looking for when I know it's time to quit something. Okay? Okay. It's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Think Digital. In the meantime, have fun, stay safe, and we'll see you online. Bye-bye. Everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. As an extra thank you, Justin have a special gift just for our podcast listeners to help make your digital business enough more profitable and enjoyable in enough less time. Them your resources is not available nowhere else, so make sure to get them now. All you have to do, I go to thinkdigital.co/gift. That's thinkdigital.co/gift. And download these gifts now. One love.